What is taking place here throughout the book of Deuteronomy is that God is giving instruction to His people to getting them ready for Canaan, getting them ready to go into the Canaan life. That's what He's doing throughout the book of Deuteronomy. And some of the key words through the book of Deuteronomy, getting them ready for the Canaan life, and we know the Canaan life is a type of the Spirit-filled life for the believer. It's one thing to be brought out of Egypt in salvation, but it's quite another to go on and get into God's best for your life, and that it would be the land of Canaan. But the book of Deuteronomy is a lot of instruction in regard to that. And some of the key words, the most used word in the book of Deuteronomy is the word do. Yeah, that right there does us in, isn't it? We don't mind to have the victorious Christian life. We don't mind to have the blessings of God. We don't mind to have the power of God, but we just don't want to do nothing. Amen. But the word do is mentioned 95 times in the book of Deuteronomy. I think God's trying to tell us that if you're going to go to Canaan, you're going to have to do something. And if you get to Canaan or get into Canaan life, not heaven, I ain't talking about heaven. Canaan's not a type of heaven. But you're going to have to do something. Amen. Another word that's used a lot in the book of Deuteronomy is the word hear. It's used 32 times. Lord only knows spiritually what we have been missed out on because of spiritual deafness and not willing to hear what He says. Another key word would be the word heart. 43 times in the book of Deuteronomy. The word heart. Is it in your heart? What is in your heart? Amen. Those things would be very important because whatever's in your heart, that's the direction you're going in. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Amen. You're going to follow your heart. You're going to follow your desires. Another key, several key words, but another one is the word keep. God is telling us here how important it is to keep His commandments and His word. And of course, remember is used 14 times. The word learn is used 7 times. There's just a lot of key words in the book of Deuteronomy. But in chapter number 8, he's dealing with something here I think is very important. Look at it, if you will, in verse number 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Here he said, first of all, the reason he led you through the wilderness, number one, was to humble thee. The wilderness will zap you of pride because there's nobody to show off to. There's nobody of the world out there looking at you. Right. But he said to humble thee and then to prove thee. He said, I led you into the wilderness. I led you into a time of testing. I led you into a barren situation to prove thee. To reveal what it is that you have. Amen. To prove what you've got is real. And to prove that He's real. Amen. The wilderness didn't slip up on them. It was the plan of God. Someone said it like this. The world, Egypt, was the land of not enough. There'll never be enough to satisfy you. Never be content with the world. Amen. The wilderness is a land of... I said, what did I say the world was? Not enough. That don't sound right. I don't have that in my head there. Anyway, if it comes back to me, I'll think about it. I preached that years ago, and part of my mind, and maybe the rest of it will come in a little bit. But anyway, Canaan is a type of having enough, or more than enough. That's right. Egypt was not enough. The wilderness was just enough. And Canaan was more than enough. Amen. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. It come back. Amen. It crawled up over that wall. I remembered it. Amen. The world is a land of not enough. Never satisfied, never content. The wilderness is going to be a land of just enough. God just giving you daily what you need. But then, thank God, Canaan land is the land of more than enough. But anyway, he said, I've led thee in the wilderness to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. Boy, wilderness experience has a tendency to surface what's in her heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Verse 3, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now keep that statement in mind. That's Jesus quoted that in Matthew 4 in verse number 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now Jesus knew that verse. Amen. Jesus knew the Bible. I mean, we know He was the living Word, but He knew the written Word. Amen. And verse number 4. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord God, thy God chasteneth thee. Amen. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths, that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. If you want to get into the land and life of God's provision, get into that Canaan land, the Spirit-filled life. God said, thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. And let's read on. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt be blessed. Thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments. See, you forget the Lord, then it shows up in your relationship to his word. If you forget the Lord, then you won't be keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And we can read on, he goes on dealing about remembering the Lord, but I'm interested back in verse number 3, when the statement is made here that man doth not live by bread alone, or bread only, as the verse here says, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. That proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. What got my attention was that this verse is placed in the context and even in the verse itself that deals with manna. God gave them manna daily to eat for their survival and their sustenance. Well, then in that same verse, he talks about there's another meal that you and I should be eating, and that is a spiritual meal. And God, I believe, is making a parallel between the manna that God gave to them and the fact that they should feed, that you and I are to feed on the Word of God in our quiet time on a daily basis. We need it. We need a quiet time with the Lord. Amen. I've been saved 28 years and I've not mastered that. Spirituality requires maintenance. Have you ever heard me say that? And one of the ways and areas of maintaining your spiritual life is in a quiet time with the Lord. And we hopefully maybe preach a message or two on that, because I know I need it. And I'm sure that you do as well. Because you may have it mastered right now, which you probably don't, but you may be a flop tomorrow. The devil will never give up on getting you out of the Bible. He'll never quit. If he sees you reading it and you got a quiet time and you're being spiritual, he's not going to run off over the hill and say, well, I can't handle her. I can't handle him. He's just going to come again on another day. Amen? But anyway, I want to say here concerning our Lord, I want to say this about our Lord. In Luke chapter 22, you can hold your place there in Deuteronomy. I want to read verse in Luke 22 about our Lord. Now this is one of several verses, but I want to read this one. I believe this shows us some stuff about the Lord. Luke chapter number 22 and verse number 39. If you got your place, say amen. All right, verse number 39, and of course this is the closing moments of his life, and he's coming down to the end here, and he's in the Garden of Gethsemane in this scene. And the Bible says, and in verse 39, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, did you notice that? A specific place Jesus had a custom of going to pray. I want to ask all of us in this place today, do we have a place to pray? Now that's the question that we need to ask ourselves. Do we have a place? Now that could be any place, at your house or wherever. That could be any place, but it's a place set aside in your heart as a special place of prayer. But here it says, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You notice that? But I want you to notice in verse number 39, the Bible says, and he came out and went as he was wont. That got my interest. And I've begun to look that up to see what that word want, W-O-N-T, what that meant. Of course, some of you I'm sure probably already know, but I didn't know. But it means he went out as was his custom. He went out as it was his manner. He went out as it was his habit. Are you listening? Maybe this one will help bring it on down. He went out as it was, as he usually did. Amen. He didn't wait till he got in a mess or facing a difficult time to pray. It was his custom to pray. It was his manner to pray. It was his habit to pray. It was something that he usually and normally did, was to pray. Amen. No doubt about it, every problem in our church and every problem in our life is a prayer problem, results of a prayer problem. Jesus was a man of prayer. And I want to tell you, dear friend, He wasn't just a man of prayer, but He was a man that saw the importance and the priority of personal quiet time with the Father. He did. He practiced it. And the Bible said, and He came out and went. That tells me that it was a plan. Do you have and do I have a plan to pray, a plan to get with God, a plan to meet with God, a plan to have some quiet time with the Lord? Now, I'm not preaching this tonight or starting this message because I am a good example. I'm preaching this because this is where I want to be. This is what attention I need to be addressing in my own life. How many of us in here, if I were to ask what my mother-in-law asked, have you got on, do you ever get on your knees to pray? I wonder how many of us would say no. I wonder how many of us maybe could say yes, but we'd have to say every once in a while. Or how many of us would respond by saying, when it's convenient. Or when I feel like it. Or when things settles down. Or whatever you might add to that. Well, I just want to remind you, Jesus was going to the Garden of Gethsemane. And He was so burdened that His sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. But I want to tell you, He still took time and made time to pray. God, help us. The Bible said He went out. He came out and went, as He was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples followed Him. No doubt about it, your quiet time is the top most spiritual discipline to building a relationship with God. Did you get that? I don't know of anything in your life and mine that would rank top of priority over your quiet time with God. I want to read that statement again. Your quiet time is the topmost spiritual discipline to building a relationship with God. Why is it tops? Because all other spirituality and spiritual disciplines are dependent on that. One. If we don't have a quiet time, then all the other spiritualities will go down the tube eventually. And we'll always have a struggle trying to maintain them. During your quiet time, a lot of things can happen. During the quiet time, you can read and pray and sing and cry and confess and praise the Lord. And amen. I mean, you can have a great time in the quiet time. Amen. I don't know where I wrote it down, but I wrote it down. Don't complicate your quiet time. Sometimes we think we've got to be this, and it's got to be this long, and we've got to, you know. No. Don't complicate it. Keep it simple. Keep it sweet. Keep it serious. And by all means, keep it spiritual. Because when you see it becoming mechanical, you're in trouble. When you see it becoming a ritual, you're in trouble. Amen. God help us. Amen. But our quiet time is crucial to our development. Our quiet time of the Lord. Amen. I wrote this down. No one will ever be much for God until we are much with God. There's books available that you can read about history, Christians, great Christian characters in history. But every one of them were people that made their quiet time a big thing in their life. It was major. It was critical. It wasn't something optional. It was essential. And they viewed it as very important. And therefore, they made a mark on their generation for the glory of God. Amen. But your quiet time, my friend, will bring life and enjoyment to your Bible and to your praying and to fasting and service and to church. Church will become boring Amen? Other things will just become boring and ritualistic, my friend, if we don't have a quiet time. Quiet time breeds life, brings life into those things, brings enjoyment into it.
Amen.
And you're in charge of it. Amen. People's not keeping a log on your life and writing down and keeping all the information. That's between you and the Lord. Amen. The closet time will certainly get you ready for church time. The church is just a reflection of the closet. And when I'm referencing the closet, I'm talking about Matthew 5, where Jesus told us to not pray as the hypocrites do, but enter into the closet and pray. Enter in the closet. The closet will affect the church. Amen. The church is bigger than the closet for its size. But this closet better be bigger than the church as far as spirituality is concerned. The closet should, church should begin in the closet. Church ought to begin in your private and secret place of prayer. Amen. Well, back in Deuteronomy chapter number 8, real quick here, I just want to share just a few things here in chapter number 8. How that there is a comparison made between the manna that was given and the fact that we have another diet that we should feed on, and that is the Word of God. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The first thing I would like to say about the comparison between the two is that, number one, it's critical. Manna was not optional. For them to have fed on that manna meant their survival. No manna, no life. They wouldn't live long because they weren't nothing of the world to eat on. And that's why God gave them that manna, because there wasn't nothing naturally in that wilderness for them to feed on. And so God provided it. But it was critical. Without it, they would have died. And I believe that's what he's saying here. Man should not live by bread only, or bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If we don't have a spiritual diet and a spiritual income of that heavenly manna from God's Word, then I believe death is going to be certain. No doubt about it. Amen. The devil really don't worry about you having a Bible in your hand or even at the house. He just don't want it to be in your heart. He don't want you to read it and feed on it and study it and let it be the roadmap for your life. He don't want that, amen? I wrote this down about in the Gideon Bible, if I can find it right here. The Gideon Bible says this, the Bible, it is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. It's important. It's as important as your food. Without food, you'd die physically. Amen. As a last consequence, of course, you get weak in the meantime and sickly. But death will be certain if we go without food. Well, God is saying, if we don't feed ourselves spiritually, if we don't feed ourselves in a quiet time with Him on His Word and in His presence, then we're going to die spiritually. So it was critical. Then I'd like to mention a second thing, just simple, and that is simply this, that it came from God. The manna that they were to feed on physically came from God. So it is that which you and I should feed on spiritually also and likewise come from God. Amen. 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 That ought to help you to want to eat it, knowing it come from God. Amen. They wanted to eat that manna because they knew it was from heaven. Amen. You can feed on heavenly things in a quiet time. Not only did it come from God, that is, it was from above, it was free, amen, and it was not from the surroundings. God fed them then. He can feed us now. He can take care of us, Brother Brian. Amen. And then a third thing I believe makes a parallel between the manna and a quiet time of feeding on God's Word and God's presence. Not only was it critical and it came from God, but thirdly, it had to be collected. God didn't put it in their mouth. God didn't even put it in their basket. God put it near to them, and they had to get it. They had to collect it. Amen. It had to be collected by them every day, or guess what it would do? It would rot. Amen. If they didn't collect it, then it would rot. Have any of us miss out on what God wants to feed us with on a daily basis because we didn't collect it? God gave it. God gave it to us, but we didn't collect it. Oh, Jesus, help us. Amen. And then number four, not only did it have to be collected, it had to be consumed. It wasn't good enough to just have it in the basket in the tent. It had to be on the fork and in the mouth. Amen. Amen. Just the fact that it was from heaven didn't help them. It had to be eaten. It had to be eaten. Amen. Amen. That it wasn't given to them to hold. It wasn't given to them to carry to church. Only it wasn't given to them to just talk about. It was given to them for one purpose, and that was eat it. Now keep in mind, in the verse here before us, there's a parallel between the manna, feeding on the manna, and the fact that you and I can feed on the commandments of God, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So it had to be consumed. Well, there's a lot of verses in the Bible talking about eating God's Word. Did you know that? Let me give you some of them. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse number 8. Here's what the Bible says. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mournings and woe. God said, I'll give that to you for you to eat it. Said, I give that to you to eat it. Look at chapter 3 and verse 3. Let's just go back and read verse 1. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll. Go speak unto the house of Israel. Now keep in mind, chapter 2, there verse number 9 and 10 tells us what that roll was. It was the Word of God. He said, eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. And so I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Amen. And then look, if you will, in Jeremiah. Let me just turn back and read Jeremiah 15 right quick. Jeremiah 15 and verse number 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. He said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. The Word of God is our spiritual food. Amen. And you think about how important the physical food is, and then look at how important the spiritual food is. One day last week, I was, of course, in a revival meeting, and I went to bed. I wasn't full by no means. I was a little bit hungry, but I said, I don't want to eat it this late. And I got up early that next morning, and the first thing on my mind wasn't reading the Word of God. Shame on me. I'm going to tell you a personal example here of what happened. I wasn't thinking about getting in the Word, praying, having a quiet time. I was looking for a biscuit, amen. So I just got my clothes on, jumped in the car, and I went up through in Pickens there and was looking for a place to eat. And I was sitting there just as plain as day on one of the red lights there in Main Street. And God brought to my attention why it was that I was so quick and interested in getting out of the house and going and finding something to eat physically And I was sitting there at that red light, and I got to thinking, the reason I was acting that way was because I was hungry. I was hunger-driven. And the Lord said to my heart, is that why you didn't pray this morning? And is that why you didn't read your Bible this morning? You was more interested in a biscuit than you were a blessing. And you know what the Lord showed me, Brother James? I was lacking hunger. The reason I was doing what I was doing about going and getting something physical is because I was being controlled by a physical appetite. And the reason the other was left off, Brother Ivan, was because I was lacking that appetite. So the reason, amen, the reason we leave the Bible on the shelf and we go without it, it's the bottom line, we're not hungry for it. We don't want to eat it. We don't see that. And you won't eat most of the time if you're not hungry.
Right.
Amen. Amen. You get hungry, you'll want to feed on God's Word. Well, anyway, it had to be consumed. And then that also, number five, a fifth parallel was, if you want to write down the word continual. We talked about it being critical. It came from God. It was had to be collected, had to be consumed. And then it was continual. They eat the same thing for 40 years. Every morning, every day, God sent it from heaven. 40 years. If you're not careful, and I've seen young converts when they first get saved, they act like, man, I can't get enough of it. Man, I've even heard of some taking, after they go to bed, you know, kids turning the flashlight on to read the Bible. What about that? Couldn't get enough of it. Had to read it. Couldn't get enough of it. Wanted the preacher to preach two or three times instead of once. But then after you've been saved a while, oh, it's that old man. And they did. They got used to it. And they started wanting meat. They started wanting to be like the Philistines. And they wanted to be like the Egyptians. But it was continual. God, listen, this Bible didn't just fall off of a wagon coming through town last week. God's people's been feeding on this book for many centuries. Amen. Thank God for it. But then last of all, it contented them. Manna fed them. I read it just today there in Exodus chapter 16, verse number 8, and the Bible said, and Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat and in the morning bread to the full. God said, I'm going to fill you. You're not going to have lack. You're going to be filled. I'm going to fill you. Amen. I'm going to content you. Psalms 105 in verse number 40, talking about the manna, said that it satisfied them. Boy, the Word of God will satisfy us. Boy, we need a quiet time with the Lord, don't we? But we'll stop off right there. But we'll come back later and deal with the priority. Well, actually, before we deal with the priority of the importance, we'll probably deal with the problems. Don't need to talk about how important it is until we deal with the problems. And one of those problems would be distractions. Oh, mercy. Anybody seen any distractions get in the way of you and your devotions? Seen any distractions get in the way of you in a quiet time of the Lord? If his phone's ever going to ring, it's going to ring then. Boy, I've noticed that so many times. Get in there to try to read and pray and have a quiet time of the Lord. Ring, ring, ring. It'll ring off the hook, amen? Or something will happen, or something will go wrong, or something will fall apart. Amen. Devil don't want you to have no quiet time, Lord, because he knows what had to affect your life. But anyway, Lord willing, we'll deal with the problems that are associated with having a quiet time, the Lord. Things that we need to learn to deal with that's in our life so that we can have a quiet time with Jesus. All right, let's all stand to our feet. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for stirring and challenging my heart about this very needful subject. Lord, I have to admit, dear God, my flesh does not want what has been preached tonight. Lord, the flesh does not want to submit itself to the Word of God in a quiet time with the Lord. But dear Lord, it is so crucial and it is so critical to our spirituality and our survival spiritually and our being sustained and our development and our growth. Lord, it's so important that without it, Lord, we'll surely die. And dear Lord, I pray You'll help me. Oh God, over the years I've seen that it's been a battle. It's been, Lord, it's been a struggle. It's been the point of conflict, dear Lord, between the flesh and spirit is that area, Father, of coming aside and coming apart and spending some quiet time mentally with the Lord and spiritually with the Lord. And Father, I know that if our church is going to go to the next level, Lord, then this area in all of our lives, including me, Lord, is going to have to intensify. It's going to have to become more of a priority. Lord, it's going to have to become more, dear Father, of a critical and a very crucial element in our life. Lord, we're to get up every day. Lord, we're to have the attitude, Lord, if we don't have that quiet time with You, Lord, we'll starve. And Lord, we're very subject to drift and get distant. And Lord, we're very subject to make a wrong move and a wrong decision. Lord, help us, our Father. Every person here, and I noted also with that manna, Lord, every age group ate it. The mamas ate it. The daddies ate it. The sons and the daughters ate it. Lord, may the young people of our church know that it's very important in their life as well that they'd have a quiet time, even in this busy time of life. Lord, help us, dear God, to be responsible for our own spirituality. Lord, we're not sure, God, what this government's going to do and what the economy's going to do, but Lord, we ought to be sure that we're going to take the time and make the time, dear Lord, to feed upon the Word of God and get our thoughts upon You, get our attention on You, hear from You, love on You, adore You, praise You, and even get right with You, Lord, in the quiet time. And Lord, if we do that on a daily basis, Lord, how much further down the road spiritually we would be already. Because surely to not do that will stunt our growth. Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Speak to our hearts, Lord, the young converts, Lord, as well as people that's been saved for years. Lord, we need a quiet time with Jesus. A time, Lord, when we steal away in a place of solitude, a place where we can get quiet before You, even if it's just for a few minutes, and relax in Your presence, and reflect upon Your goodness, and read the Word of God, and render praise to Your name, and request help for other people. Lord, there's so much that can go on in a quiet time. And Lord, I believe Jesus using and quoting this verse when He was being tempted of the devil in Matthew 4. I believe He's showing us that if we're going to deal with temptation and if we're going to deal with the enemy, then Lord, we're going to have a time of devotions. We're going to have a time of quietness before You, of prayer and reading the Word of God. Just spending some time with You, Lord. Because surely You will rub off on us if we'll just spend some time with You.